it's Flo, with a super weird word, nightgown. If you ask me, it sounds less like clothes you wear to bed and more like things you say to your clothes. Good night, capri pants, sleep tight sweaters, nightgown. We've got a big day tomorrow. Now a weird word I just made up, flotection. It sounds like great protection for your new home through me and Progressive, and that's because it is. I said good night, capri pants, go to sleep.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
At Mattress Firm, we think of our customers as family. So we'd like to extend our friends and family sale to you. Right now, save 20% across America's best-selling brands like Beautyrest or Serta. Hurry in, our friends and family sale ends soon. Your budget stretches further at Mattress Firm. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for details. Offer available at participating locations only.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Talking with Bob Babich, who's now the Bills linebackers coach. He was Bears defensive coordinator, Bears linebackers coach, and he is going to present Brian Urlacher in Canton to the Hall of Fame. Well, this is exciting. How did you find out that you were going to give the speech?
Well, Brian called me up, and he said, hey, I have a question to ask you. You know, he said, hey, will you be my presenter at the Hall of Fame? And, of course, I was just flabbergasted and just excited and, you know, really humbled by him asking me. And so I'm just very excited to be his presenter at the Hall of Fame. I have so much respect for him that, you know, I just had nothing but excitement once he asked me, and so excited to be able to do this.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSER and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. The Wolves have won back-to-back Central Division championships and now host the Rockford Ice Hogs in the Calder Cup playoffs. Catch Game 1 at Allstate Arena this Saturday and enjoy free parking. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. The Cardinals come to Wrigley tied for the most road wins in the National League.
Plus, they got, I think, Dexter's in right now and Pham's in center. Their shortstop can really hit and play some defense. Yadier looks reborn a bit, so they're nice. They're really nice.
Joe Maddon has Tyler Chatwood set to face Adam Wainwright with Anthony Rizzo probably coming off the DL. It isn't expected to rain or snow, but it's going to be cold on the north side. Temps in the 30s, wind chill in the 20s for the 6 o'clock start right here on The Score. The St. Paul Pioneer Press says the three Sox Twins makeup dates are all figured out. A June 5th straight doubleheader, August 20th on a mutual off day, and a September 28th split doubleheader. White Sox visit Oakland for three games. Reynaldo Lopez on the bump. Football, the Bears have officially signed Benny Fowler. The wideout started four games for the Broncos last season. Denver is releasing running back C.J. Anderson. NBA playoffs, the Sixers try to make it an 18-game win streak tonight against the Heat. The Warriors host the Spurs, and there will be two primetime and two late starts in the Stanley Cup playoffs. This scoreboard update is brought to you by U.S. Waterproofing. Cracks causing water in your basement? Visit uswaterproofing.com to schedule a free consultation. And get exclusive access at the Miller Lite Bears Draft Party April 26th at Soldier Field. Meet Bears players, hang out on the field, and watch the draft live on the video boards. Visit ChicagoBears.com. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to the radio home for Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. The next game on The Score today at 5:30 when the Cubs take on the Cardinals. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Naperville Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, online at NapervilleCJDR.com.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
Nine, ten.
It's not ten. You see, you're on ten here. Where can you go from there? Where? To 11. 11, exactly.
11.
Midway. So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
On the first half of the show, we had a conversation with Brian Geltzeiler, talked a lot about the Cubs, about the weather, about what's going on, about the game time decision tonight. There was a late ad as a national game, and that apparently we could believe might be affecting some of the decision-making because of their choice to do that and also looking for some alternatives. But it is going to be, in my opinion, unplayably cold. So we're going to see how they handle it.
I think in many people's opinion, it will be unplayably cold. Unfortunately, those opinions who matter want baseball games played. All right, first one off the books here. Let's stick with baseball. Major League Baseball's swing and miss percentages continue to ratchet up to a point that's really, really something. I was looking through, and a couple of different places had this, and a couple of beat writers are tweeting it out. In 2005, any guess? It probably doesn't make sense to make you guess 13 years ago what the MLB swing and miss rate was, but it was 19.4%. It's not pure strikeout rate. This is swing and miss percentage. From 2005, it has gone up each and every season,
okay,
slowly but surely, except for 18 this year from 17. In 2017, it's 24.5%. In 2018, it is 25.4%. An increase of nearly a percentage point. That's league-wide.
God.
That's every swing. That's all over baseball. We'll talk with Jeff Sullivan later in the week. I don't know if that necessarily qualifies as an alarm, but if it's not, the klaxons are warming up. I mean, that is a whole percentage point. That's incredible.
This, according to Awful Announcing, golf is an outdoor game, which means it's sometimes at the mercy of the elements. More accurately, it always is, but sometimes it's a bigger deal than other times. Severe storms were predicted yesterday across the Southeast, including the venue for the PGA Tour event, the RBC Heritage at Harbortown on Hilton Head. The threat of that weather prompted the event to move up tee times.
Interesting.
In an effort to finish ahead of the severe weather. Len Casper talked about this,
right,
regarding baseball, saying, hey, we're given ample warning. We know what our window is. We know when the rain is coming. So let's get this party started a little earlier. So they describe it as an admirably flexible move. Nobody wants to stay until Monday. If you've ever been at a golf course for a massive storm, you know there's no place for people to take shelter. Mm-hmm. So the earlier adjustment made sense, unless you're CBS, which decided to stick with their original coverage window and air the event delayed. It also makes some sense. What doesn't make sense was making the live broadcast unavailable as it was happening, and they didn't even stream it, and it was exciting, and it went to a playoff, and there was a collapse at the end that led to a playoff between a couple of players you've never really heard much about in Satoshi Kodaira and Siwoo Kim, with Kim really struggling down the stretch. He ended up losing on the third playoff hole, but this shows you both the flexibility and the complication involved in moving up a sporting event.
Is it easier to do that because it's golf and you're out there for 4 days anyway? Because of it's essentially a week-long event. Everyone's there. If you've got tickets for Friday, you've probably got tickets for Sunday, right? Or if at the very least you have tickets for more than one day, especially in an event like that. You know, if you're going to a major, you probably just have your Friday tickets. You don't have Friday,
sure,
Saturday, and Sunday.
I just found it interesting that here is a sport doing exactly what Lenny was asking baseball to try to do more of to gain that flexibility. But it shows you that there are always going to be complications that you don't foresee.
So I'm reading through a recap a little bit of the Sixers game, right? And they're talking about it's on The Athletic, and the guy who writes it is Rich. I wrote it down. Rich Hoffman. And it starts out talking about the adjustments that were made in this game, right? The fact that Brett Brown took Amir Johnson out and put in Ersan Ilyasova in the second half and wanted to space the floor more for Ben Simmons. They did that. They struggled early. They get themselves a 30-point win. They space the floor. Everything's great. The paragraph, second-to-last graph in here, got me down a YouTube trail that I thought you might find interesting. Here's the graph. As it turned out, this game one didn't resemble the war, as neither team came out of the gate throwing wild haymakers. But to steal a boxing analogy in the name of Harold Letterman, that third quarter flurry ensured that Brown and his staff took a round one against a more experienced and highly regarded coach.
I'm here for Harold Letterman. I had a 10-9, and I didn't think it was a slip. It was a knockdown, so I scored it 10-9.
So the cool part,
okay, right?
That's really good. The cool part about reading the piece online is that it comes with the hyperlink, right?
Okay.
Like the war, I have no idea what the hell that is. I've never heard of it. I don't know what it is. Do you know the fight?
Wins above replacement.
It's a boxing match. It was termed the war. It's Marvelous Marvin Hagler versus Hearns. Thomas Hearns.
Oh, come on.
April 15th, 1985.
Unbelievable. Hagler gets cut right above his nose.
Yes.
And it's what when the wobble of Hearns's legs.
He's so skinny anyway in his legs.
And he throws from such a base that when you saw his legs go, and then it was how many rounds was it?
Three.
It was only three rounds.
Three rounds. He's knocked out in the third round.
It's a lifetime of a boxing match.
It is a lifetime. I watched Joe and I
You've
did a thing.
Never
in
seen Hagler Hearns. I didn't know it was called the war.
It was called the war.
I just know it as Hagler Hearns.
I had never. It's 3 months before I was born.
Oh, come on.
I was never brought up as like a boxing guy, and I went back and I did. We watched the. We went down for Pacquiao Rios
young
to Vegas.
Man, do I have YouTubes for you? Have you seen Foreman Lyle?
Yes. I went deep. Damn. I watched a lot.
Okay.
And because I wanted to figure out what the hell we were talking about. But this one had escaped me, and I feel like crap because of it. I'm watching this thing on YouTube last night as somebody's getting blown out. I forget what basketball game I was watching at the time, but I have never seen anything like that. I know it's 32 years ago, but I have never seen anything like this.
It's great.
The bell rings, and I'm going, okay, here's a dance recital for 2 minutes. We'll see what happens. Everything's going to be fine, and there's probably a haymaker in the third, something like that.
Mm-mm.
It was unbelievable.
It's like a Rocky movie in that everything lands.
Right, where you watch this fake boxing match, you go, that's great. It would never happen. They would die. They would absolutely die 3 rounds in, and he did.
When we interviewed Thomas Hearns at the Super Bowl in Detroit, and he was hanging around, and we talked to him about that. Nice guy who's struggling a little bit.
Was he?
Yeah. I think he forgot he was on with us, and then we're kind of still over there waiting to go on with us. But it was really that fight. And because you have to remember that after the era of the heavyweights, after the time of Ali, when you were already starting to get into the Larry Holmes, and it was even past that. That's when that weight class took over.
Yeah,
that's when it's Sugar Ray and Duran and Wilfredo Benitez, and that was it. That's when all of the boxing's attention, for those of us who are big-time mainstream boxing fans, that's when it moved to that particular weight class.
I was beyond thrilled by this whole thing. I actually have it saved because apparently Sugar Ray then later fought Hagler.
And members of Sugar Ray.
And that's the fight I'm going to watch this afternoon when I get done and spend a little time. I think I'm going to spend the week, just in parts, in like a mid-1980s boxing YouTube spiral. I'm looking forward to it.
There's a lot to chew on with this particular story and this particular analysis of the story, but I was just mesmerized by this piece at Vox.com by Joanna Grossman talking about how complicated this New Orleans Saints cheerleaders lawsuit is. And we've heard some of the headlines, and we've seen some of the stuff, but just so you know what we're dealing with here, Joanna Grossman, who wrote this, is an endowed chair in Women and the Law at SMU's law school. She has written books all about gender and sex in the workplace and what is at stake here. And it's incredible about how counterintuitive this actual lawsuit is. Because it's ridiculous on its face.
You say the things out loud, and it's like, well, okay, done deal.
Right. They're having to protect
the
cheerleaders from the rapacious players because it's on the cheerleaders. They have to leave a party if a player shows up because
the
players can't control themselves.
Public spaces.
However, the actual letter of the law in this case about what has to be proven on the grounds that she's arguing about gender inequality, the point being the jobs are not equal as far as gender. There are no women players.
Mm-hmm.
There are no men cheerleading. So that's where the complication comes in. There's also the complete difference in the importance of what they are asked to do. It is not necessarily wrong for a less important, lower-level employee to bear the burden when it comes to the relationship rules with other employees.
Yeah.
And it's incredible how upfront and how clear she is in speaking to what the role of the NFL cheerleader is, and that is to titillate heterosexual men and to be hot. for a living. And whether or not that's legal to have to be, that's a completely different case and not to be tested here. But it's just amazing how starkly and how plainly she says what the job is. And it's very, very difficult to say that I'm being discriminated against when your job is to titillate heterosexual men who might be watching or attending, and then away from the field, you have to do everything but that. And I was astonished to hear this from a law professor saying what could be at stake in trying to challenge some things that are very difficult to challenge because you've accepted a job to do just that.
Yeah, to me, this is going to come down to the fact that she signed up for this. And it sucks.
And it might be awful.
And it sucks.
Yeah, the idea of the whole idea of professional sports cheerleaders is antiquated, vestigial,
dumb.
And, yeah, dumb.
Dumb, pointless. It doesn't add anything for you. I need a ruling, and I'm hoping I can use all of us to get this ruling here, fellas. Patrick Reed. I don't know, everybody see Patrick Reed at the Rockets game last night. He's a big Rockets guy. He's a fan. Patrick Reed, Masters champion, of course. Patrick Reed, well, that's the other thing. Yeah. Patrick Reed has been seen at Chick-fil-A wearing his green jacket.
Mm-hmm.
This was the day after he won the Masters, which, to me, fine. He's seen at a Knicks game wearing a green jacket, an Astros game wearing the green jacket, and the Rockets game wearing
I thought you weren't allowed
jacket.
To take it off premises.
Well, and he's not wearing a collar underneath the jacket at the Rockets game last night, which I thought you had to do. So,
also sweating profusely.
So my question is twofold.
All of a sudden.
Rules of green jacket wearing aside, where does this rank on the baggery level? And does Patrick Reed need to be called out for his wearing a trophy in and around everywhere he can find?
It's just the latest in the Patrick Reed I'm a bag chronicles.
It's too much, right?
I thought you weren't allowed to. Maybe it's just a different green jacket.
It's just a green sport coat. He got a JCPenney on the way.
That's what I mean. It might be. It seriously might be. Because
you're saying he's wearing a replacement green jacket.
Possibly, because I thought you could only wear the green jacket when at Augusta.
I did not. Okay, well, now this is...
It's not like the Stanley Cup, where they have, like, keepers and they bring it around.
No, but there are the same stains on both. And the issue...
Patrick Kane's texting, bring me my cup, bitch. Yeah.
I didn't know that we could have... I didn't think of the replacement green jacket.
That's what I thought. I
never brought that into the equation.
Wearing a version of it, say, look at me. By the way, if this green jacket should remind you of anything, there's a real one of these with my name on it.
Still, even if he's wearing the replacement green jacket,
that's almost worse.
Yeah,
right?
Isn't it?
Because I'm looking here, the green jacket has a Masters patch on it. And I'm not seeing that on the one he's wearing at the game. So this may just be a green sport coat.
That's like carrying your Academy Award around with you or something, right?
This from the 708. Sergio wore his to Wimbledon and his wedding. But now I need to know if everybody gets... Maybe that's more convention than I thought. Wearing like the backup green jacket for like photo ops and whatnot.
I'm okay with it because if there's going to be the photo ops, it helps cover the fat. And I'm always thinking about fat logistics.
If you get the chance, I just put this in the Twitter timeline here. There is a video from the Washington Capitals playoff game. And it is a play. What's his name? Connolly?
Adam Connolly. I looked it up and then I forgot it.
Yeah, I didn't know who
Jay,
he was.
Jay, any help? We're in 10 for the Washington Capitals. Connolly.
Connolly, 10, Capitals.
Nice
so
guy.
As they're warming up for the game, Connolly sees three adorable little kids in Capitals sweaters right on the glass, banging on the glass.
Brett Connolly?
He's
Canadian.
So Brett Connolly, and right in between, I think probably her two brothers, her two older brothers, is this little blonde-haired girl. And Connolly goes over and he points at the girl and he takes a puck and he flips it up over the glass to, I think, the dad.
Yeah.
And the camera's got all of this. It's a minute-long video. And the dad hands it to one of the boys. So there's a whole other thing that you know is going to happen here once this gets around.
Obviously.
Right? So, and the girl is sad. So Connolly sees what happens. And he comes back with another puck. And he bangs on the glass again. And he flips it up over the glass. And the dad catches it and hands the puck to her other brother.
Yikes.
And Connolly's like, no! It's for her! And he's making a point of like, no. So he gets a third puck and flips that over the glass. And finally, the third puck gets to his intended recipient, and the little girl goes crazy because she's so happy. And now, as you would expect, the dad is facing the wrath of Twitter, as why would the dad assume that it's for the boys instead of for the girls? Why would he make that assumption and do it twice and give it to his two sons where the player was actually trying to give it to the little girl?
Yeah, and that's the part that's... Oh, you watch this video, and Brett Connolly's not banging on the glass. You know, like, he's pointing to the little girl
right,
to let everybody know that this puck is for her. She's as goosed about this whole thing as anybody.
And with my hockey experience yesterday, as our team was absolutely destroyed by a team that had four girls on it, including the none of these arguments. Don't start with me right now about the arguments about why they would assume that the boys would care more about the puck. All I know is that there were a bunch of girls yesterday that cared a whole lot more about winning a hockey game than our weak-ass goaltender did.
Oh, God.
Oh, he was just... But
he was just... Well, make sure you get it out there. I'm sure he'll appreciate everyone knowing.
I said it. The first thing I said, you know, he's old enough now that I said it after the game, like... Are you? What the hell are you doing out there? And I mentioned
Dan turns into hockey dad.
No, because look, he didn't, it's spring hockey. Who cares? But I said something to one of the parents. I said, look, I apologize. I will not be doing tequila shots with my kid before games anymore. I said because that really just like I love some El Nacimiento tequila.
There's just something nice.
Yes, I love the añejo, but I said I'm not going to let him do six tequila shots before a game if it's going to look like that, because that's just I literally said, what the hell are you doing? I don't know. I was bad. I'm like, okay, great. Yeah.
That is your midday midway. We do it every day at 11 here on the Bernstein and McKnight show. There are a couple of, Dan, you mentioned before the show, you want to talk a little bit about Shohei Ohtani and the run he's had. Apparently, we found a little audio that you wanted to have from Jake Arrieta about the issue.
I think we've run this before, but as we now know, if you haven't heard this, Jake Arrieta talked specifically right before the draft about Shohei Ohtani and about what he apparently, guys like that. And I posed the question to him, I believe, can somebody be a hitter and a pitcher full time in MLB? And the answer right now is obviously yes.
Yep. Seems fine.
But
someone can.
And maybe you remember what he said, because it was top of mind then, and now we're seeing what's actually happening as someone's trying to do it.
I have supplemental Ohtani fun for us as we approach it too. So we'll do that when we get back. He's Bernstein, I'm McKnight. You've got 670 The Score.
Get exclusive access at the Miller Lite Bears Draft Party, April 26th at Soldier Field. Meet Bears players, hang out on the field, and watch the draft live on the video boards. Visit ChicagoBears.com.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Get ready for game time. Find an agent at Farmers.com. The headlines before the start of the NBA playoffs on Saturday focused largely on the dominant season the Houston Rockets just completed and how vulnerable the defending champion Golden State Warriors are. Then the Steph-less Warriors went out and crushed the San Antonio Spurs in game one of their first round series, and now it seems all is right in Warriors world. The Warriors are now 15 wins away from a third title in 4 years. 15. The Spurs aren't likely to roll over and play dead. They are, after all, the Spurs. And at some point, if they advance, the Warriors will have to face down James Harden in Houston. And then, and only then, play in the finals, very possibly against LeBron James. Again, an easy opening game win is nice, but it proves almost nothing. I'm John Feinstein.
Honey?
Yeah.
Your boss is literally using every form of communication to reach you. Are you going to answer?
Yeah, I'll answer. But not until I've had my coffee.
Nothing comes before coffee. That's why McCafe has a whole line of espresso drinks, like the new Iced Turtle Macchiato with rich chocolate and caramel flavors.
Hi. I got a telegram for Tom.
Available for a limited time only at participating McDonald's.
Need legal advice from a reputable attorney? Send questions you want answered to cbschicago.com/legaladvice and look online for free Legal Fridays with Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates. That's CBS Chicago.
Thanks for-
for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
The man himself, Rick Hahn, the White Sox Vice President and General Manager. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Doing well, guys. The response has been very positive. And you know, in all candor, and I think I've talked about it before, when we started this process, we didn't quite know how it was going to be received. Certainly it was something that this organization had not done before, or at least not in recent memory. And we knew there was some risk in terms of the fan approval and response in the market. So we set out to at least do what we could on our part to be clear about what we were trying to accomplish and why, and then back up our words with actions. And you know, whether it's because of that or simply because fans are a little more sophisticated than perhaps people are giving them credit for, the response has been outstanding.
Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
State Farm, this is Bill.
It finally got me, Bill.
What's that, Rick?
The Clark Street crater, the mother of all potholes.
Oh.
Yeah, year after rim-wrecking year, it's tormented the people of this town. They try to fill it, but it always returns. It got me good.
But you know, State Farm's got you too.
You hear that? You ain't nothing!
You trash-talking a pothole?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Thanks for streaming The Score. The new McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
New Bears receiver Allen Robinson on the McNeil and Parkin Show.
Allen, I've been watching the Bears since the late 1960s. I can't say I ever recall a free agent signee listing the biggest reason he's coming to the ball club, the offensive coach.
It's just one of those offenses that has a lot of versatility. You know, when you were watching Kansas City play over the last couple of seasons or so, you know, you saw what they brought to the table as far as explosive plays, efficient plays. You know, quick game. They had deep plays. They ran screen. You know, you got to be ready for a little bit of everything. You know, and it makes it so difficult for defense to prepare for. You know, he puts a lot of pressure on the defense. You know, I think that's something that I really noticed in watching Kansas City play is that, you know, he forces the pressure on the defense. You know, he puts the pressure on them and they have to react to what he's doing.
Mac is back, joining Danny Parkins on your ride home. 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Want more out of what you drive? Head to Hyundai, where you'll find more choices for a compact with the feature-packed family of Elantras and more room in a sedan thanks to the Sonata's class-leading interior space and more options for an all-wheel drive SUV from the 7-passenger Santa Fe to the versatile Santa Fe Sport to the exhilarating Tucson and first-ever Kona, sized just right for any adventure. Hyundai has 7 2018 models chosen as IIHS top safety picks when equipped with available automatic emergency braking and specific headlights. Plus, they're all backed by America's best warranty, including a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. And there's much, much more, because with Hyundai, you get a great deal more than just a great deal. Right now, lease a Sonata for just $139 a month or get $3,250 total savings. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Call 877-248-1585 for details. Passenger volume claim based on manufacturer's websites. IIHS safety claim for Santa Fe Sport models built after June 2017. Visit IIHS.org for more details. America's best warranty claim based on total package warranty programs. See dealer for limited warranty details.
I'm at Walgreens because I'm not feeling my best. My allergies are giving me an itchy nose, watery eyes, and sneezing. Luckily, Walgreens is right around the corner to help me find the right allergy relief fast. With a wide variety of Walgreens brand allergy products, I find effective relief I can trust. So, even when allergy season is at its worst, Walgreens is there to help me feel my best. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Now with card, buy one eligible Walgreens brand health and wellness product, get one of equal or lesser price half off through May 5th. Use as directed.
April showers bring May flowers and baseball season, but also flooded basements? When flood disaster strikes, contact Aloha Restoration to get bone dry in no time. Unlike other restoration services, Aloha is full service and restores your home to pre-disaster condition with you from start to finish. Aloha Restoration is a proud part of the Lake County community and recipient of the Better Business Bureau 2017 Torch Award for Ethics. Aloha repairs any mold, fire, or water damage in Barrington, Schaumburg, Mundelein, Gurnee, Grays Lake, and all of Lake County. Visit AlohaRestores.com.
The Home Depot has free carpet installation for any carpet purchase over $699. Free installation, as in no hidden fees for moving furniture, ripping out old carpet, carpeting stairs. Fees other places charge for their free carpet installation, we don't. For carpet installation that really is free, start with carpet from The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
ChicagoBears.com. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
He's solid. He's got a nice setup.
I think we need to ask him about his Phillies teammates now, because that was John Jay he described as we asked who looked best walking around the clubhouse in their underpants, and he said John Jay
was underwear model.
Solid with his nice setup.
We're not looking for Fabio here.
This segment brought to you by Dell. Small businesses get tailored tech solutions when they partner with Dell, plus free shipping and a price match guarantee on everything, including laptops with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. A lot of people were wrong about Shohei Ohtani. I am one of those people that was wrong about him because I made the silly mistake of thinking that spring training performance actually mattered, and so far so good for the rookie Japanese import, who probably really shouldn't be considered a rookie. But before he was drafted...
I think he's... I'm giving him rookie status.
Before he was drafted, we asked Jake Arrieta on these airwaves what he thought about the idea, the possibility that somebody could be both position player and pitcher at the major league level. Could we have a two-way player, somebody who could actually function not just as a carnival sideshow, but somebody who really could be an everyday level hitter who could also be in any game a high leverage reliever, say? Is that possible, or is it just asking too much of what one human being can be good at?
It's not possible. I would love it to be possible. I really would. You know, I've seen some amazing two-way players in college. I played against probably one of the best college two-way players ever in Joe Savory, who went to Rice. And you just, once you climb the ranks, you get into the minor leagues, and you see just how difficult it is, and how many games you play, how often you're on the road, how much you travel. In trying to carry the workload of a position player and a pitcher, and whether that's a starting pitcher or a reliever, I mean, you're asking so much of your body. A young guy who's 20, 22 might be able to do it briefly, but I don't think there's any way that somebody's able to sustain that over the course of a career. I think eventually guys are just going to have to choose, you know, which one they're best at, what they're most comfortable with, and honestly, what the organization wants from them. So while I would love to say it is possible, I just really don't think it is.
All right, so the Japanese Babe Ruth, Shohei Ohtani? Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah.
He's off the list then for the Texas Rangers, huh?
Well, I mean, if he can show the, you know, Major League Baseball that he's capable of, I'm doing something like that in that capacity in this league, then we'll see. I mean, I could be proven wrong, but I think most people agree with me that it just requires just too much of your body on a daily basis. And it would really limit the recovery time of that player. And with that, all the variables incorporated in the season, I just think it's not doable.
Jake Arrieta.
I've got some thoughts for you on that, and some Shohei Ohtani supplemental fun, too.
Great.
Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. The Wolves have won back-to-back Central Division championships and now host the Rockford Ice Hogs in the Calder Cup playoffs. Catch Game 1 at Allstate Arena this Saturday to enjoy free parking. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. The plan is for Tyler Chatwood to make his third start as a Cub tonight against the Cardinals. Anthony Rizzo expected to come off the DL. But there will be wind gusts up to 18 miles per hour with a wind chill in the mid-20s tonight. A 6 o'clock first pitch Cubs Cards tonight on the Score. The Sox Twins makeup dates are spread out over June, August, and September. Two doubleheaders and a mutual day off. Ronaldo Lopez will pitch for the White Sox tonight at the A's. Football, the Bears officially signed receiver Benny Fowler. And the Ravens are reportedly interested in Dez Bryant. Two NBA playoff games tonight, Sixers Heat and Warriors Spurs, and four Game 3s in the Stanley Cup playoffs. This scoreboard update is brought to you by U.S. Waterproofing. Searching for a solution to a damp and musty crawl space? Visit uswaterproofing.com to schedule a free consultation. Also brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Learn how to get out of your timeshare with help from Timeshare Exit Team. Book by April 30th and save $500 off your exit. Go to timeshareexitteam.com. Enter promo code TRAFFIC, timeshareexitteam.com. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to the radio home for Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. The next game on The Score today at 5:30 when the Cubs take on the Cardinals. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Before you get to your Shohei Ohtani stuff, a little bit of news here. The makeup dates have been set for the White Sox-Twins games that were postponed, including, as you mentioned, a pair of doubleheaders.
Let me get out the White Sox schedule here so I can follow along with some of the...
So last Friday's contest has been rescheduled for June 5th at 3:10 as part of a traditional doubleheader. Saturday's game will be played on September 28th at 1:10 as part of a split doubleheader.
Oh, God.
Sunday's game has been rescheduled single contest on August 20th at 6 p.m. that had been an off day for both teams. So this is what you said when you start doing this. This apparent record number of postponements is going to result in a cluttered and difficult season on down the road. They got to pay the piper for all this stuff. You got it?
15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yeah, okay. So that does make for the White Sox two. Yeah, so that'll be a 15-day stretch with an off day and then a 20-day stretch with an off day going into their last two series of the year to end August and into September.
And also, apparently, the winner of the green jacket can have it off premises for a year.
And they can wear it? You can wear it around?
I guess you can do
have it.
You can do whatever you want with it. It is yours to wear as you see fit for a calendar year. And then it has to go back to Augusta, the clubhouse there, and you can wear it there on the grounds.
It's to be laundered there. It can only be laundered at Augusta.
Who knows? I guarantee you there's probably some kind of rule there.
Laundry traditions like no other.
And we're still waiting to find out about what's going on with tonight's Cubs game. My speculation is, coming off of the stuff that Joe Maddon was saying, they can't play this thing. I don't know. It just seems impractical and wrong to me.
I don't know enough about the groundskeeping business, but the freezing
and
thawing.
You're not in the Hall of Fame.
I am not in the groundskeeping Hall of Fame, that's for sure. But the freezing and thawing has to become an issue at some point, doesn't it? Doesn't the repeated freezing and thawing have to at some point become a problem for the outfield?
I guess they could just resod it, though, right? I mean, they do that so often. They just roll in new sod after an AC/DC concert or whatever it is.
I guess if you're trying to play the next day, though, if you're trying to, I don't know. I just kind of always had problems on the lawn at the house. Shohei Ohtani, too.
I gave up. I've gone prairie.
It's probably the best way to do it.
Just totally, especially in the back.
Head out into the wilderness.
Just went prairie. And remind me, did I tell you about the rabbit stare down?
No, Dan, you have not told me about the rabbit stare down.
Every day when I get home, the same rabbit's there.
How do you know it's the same rabbit?
Because I know, and it looks at me.
They all look different.
It's like Donnie Darko going on all of a sudden. It's just, and it's given me this
lurking.
It's giving me this. That's one of the scariest movies I've ever seen in my life.
Overrated.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a Donnie Darko guy.
Freaked me out.
I think it's because of when I saw.
Oh, freaked me out.
What was going on?
It doesn't get scary. Like, I'll open the door and like the little alarm beeps go off, and I'll slam the door, and it's still there. It has no fear of noise, of human beings. Usually rabbits are like, oh, person, I'm going to run away.
Does it have big, sharp, pointed teeth?
It might.
It could.
It might be the killer rabbit, but it looks at me like it was like the coyote. I understand coyotes having attitude. The coyotes on my porch look at me like, all
right. They kind of swagger around.
Yeah. This is a rabbit, and it's giving me the look of like, oh, what are you doing here? I'm like, I live here.
We have a rabbit in the courtyard that runs around, but it's, you know, it's pretty docile. It runs away from you when you get about 6 feet away.
No, it's giving me, like, it knows too much. It knows something. It, like, knows what's in the computer browsing history or something. It's giving,
lurking around and watching
it's
you.
It's giving me a look, and it's in the same spot every day.
He has been cooking Hasenpfeffer at the house a lot?
No,
you think he wants
to.
Revenge?
I did have a lot in Italy.
Hasenpfeffer.
A lot of rabbit.
Really?
That's everywhere.
I didn't know that was a big thing.
That's a staple. Yeah.
Is it a greasy kind of thing?
No.
Oh, no.
It's phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah. Rabbit in Tuscany is just, it's just, people just eat it like anything else. But, okay, I just got to figure that out.
So you mentioned the Shohei Ohtani thing, right? And
yes.
Jake Arrieta was talking about it, too. And interesting, too, to point out Jake's issue, he was more concerned about things happening all season long. We've seen success over the first couple of weeks for Ohtani. They've picked their spots a little bit. They, even though he shows really no platoon splits as a left-handed batter in Japan, he's hit lefties and righties pretty equally well. They've tried to keep him away from left-handers as best they can. He did face a lefty the other day I think it was a pinch hit spot, but Ohtani, the way he's succeeding is interesting because that triple he hit, the one that cleared the bases the other day, it's an inside heater. One of the home runs he hit, I believe that third one was an inside heel.
Well, he does clear that hip quickly.
That's what they'd fix. That's what they think they'd fix. They did kind of adjust the leg kick and how he, you know, gets out toward the ball and what his stride looks like. But he's been able to cover inside fastballs. Remember when, I don't know if it just is what scouts say, when you get a player who's played professionally in another place that comes over. Remember the scouting report on Jose Abreu when he came to the big leagues? Can he handle inside heat? Can he get around on the inside fastball? Otani, kind of the same thing. I don't remember what Ichiro's scouting report was when he came over in 2000, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I remember in spring training, people saw Ichiro and say, what is he trying to do with that little tennis backhand? This isn't going to work.
He didn't have a hit in his first spring training. So we're seeing him cover that pitch a little bit, which I think is a pretty interesting thing. Also, this, his sprint speed around from first to third was, or from home to third, was tops. Not only was it one of the top...
It's not Billy Hamilton.
No, okay. It's not first tier.
Okay.
But it's second tier type speed.
Wow.
And I say second tier and you go, oh, okay, well, he's a fast baseball player or whatever. You know, slow pitchers generally are. You know how much they don't focus on that? Yeah, there are athletes on those mounds, but sprint speed for them is a completely different thing. So I'm looking through, and I just saw this from an MLB stats tweeter, a Twitter account. He was the, of top speed runs, at least having 10 top speed sprints. That's not a distance necessarily. That is just when a guy gets to top speed and gets clocked in, right? He was the 62nd fastest major league player so far.
Wow.
62nd. That's, you know, tops is Byron Buxton and two is Billy Hamilton. So Ketel Marte is up there.
Malik Smith up
there. Yeah, you fall down there and you've got a guy like Tommy Pham who's hitting the cover off the ball. Dansby Swanson. Mike Trout's at 27 so far this year. Mookie Betts is at 40. Kevin Pillar, you know, outfielder for the Blue Jays up there at 46. You've got Carlos Correa who handles that mass around pretty good. Yoan Moncada at 55. Hmm. We're talking about Andrelton Simmons, Zach Cozart, Hunter Renfro, Shohei Ohtani, 62nd so far. Just the sheer athleticism that that guy handles. And Jake's got a point when we listen to the audio before the update. The ability, because if anybody knows about keeping yourself in a specific shape for 162 games, 30-something starts, Jake knows how to do that.
That was his first thing. He said the strain on your body. The first reason he gave was, and maybe that is a six-month issue, and that three weeks into a baseball season is just not enough time to see evidence of exactly what, and maybe Jake Arrieta is 100% right.
And when the Angels say you're starting every 6 day, we're going to keep you on the Japanese schedule because they throw typically every 6 days over there in the rotation as opposed to every 5 days here, they're going to skip him, they're going to keep him out days before and days after starts, although I think he did pinch hit over the weekend in a spot like that. I know he wants to play more, and I know everybody wants to see him more. But to be quite honest, I'm going to be selfish here. I want Mike Trout in the playoffs. I want Mike Trout in the playoffs, and I want him to have a deep playoff run. We, as baseball fans, deserve it, and he's damn well earned it. And if that's what it takes, keeping that offense a little bit healthier, keeping that rotation, which needs him a little bit healthier, I will abdicate my Shohei Ohtani everyday throne and move on to greener pastures.
The texters are out. If the rabbit's in the same spot every day, walk over to that spot and see if there are little ones. Rabbits will make a low spot in the grass and use that to hide their new babies. Spring is the time of year this happens.
Oh,
I have to dodge them regularly.
Protecting the young.
I haven't seen any, and it's just sitting right out in the open. It's not in any little hidden area. Maybe it's near a nest. So Dan,
do rabbits nest?
Hit it, yeah. Hit it with the holy hand grenade of Antioch, and multiple people have texted in.
Five will be the number. We'll be right out. Three should be the number of the counting. Holy hand grenade of Antioch.
This is, why don't you take the opposite approach and go up to the rabbit and be nice to it? Because it's giving me the look. It's not. I don't think it's a nice rabbit.
Yeah, you know, you cave, and then that's going to be, they're just going to start walking all over you.
It's got a nest, moron. Okay, sorry. Right. I didn't see it. And the 630 says, would you explain what a split doubleheader is? Yeah, it's day-night doubleheader.
Yeah, it's your day-night.
As opposed to
4 hours in between. Or whatever.
Right, as opposed to just a quick break and they
half hour in between the
drag
first
the
and
infield
second.
And get you going and bring out new lineup cards.
For reference, the pre- and post-game host will usually fill for about a half an hour in between those two games and then just send it to the play-by-play team with about 5 minutes left in the countdown.
Five minutes on anything. Here he is.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Here's your game. Just to finish up the Jake Arrieta point on two-way players, you'll remember, too, that in the top four selections of the Major League Baseball draft last year, we had two players who predominantly played two ways in high school and in college. It's Brendan McKay, who was drafted out of Louisville. He went to the Rays as a first baseman and a pitcher, and Hunter Green. So I was just kind of, I wanted to see if those guys, you know, because we're just starting minor league season so far, and it looks like Hunter Green's mostly just going to pitch. The Reds have said maybe he'll get some hitting in later on, and Mackenzie Gore has a blister or something like that, so he's on the disabled list for a little while. I had hoped to have a bit more sample size for you and whether or not baseball was going to try those experiments with top-tier prospects, and it turns out you have to wait longer.
No, the idea of fast pitchers, though, is very interesting because there are a lot of people who remember how the Cubs used Jason Marquis.
That's right.
Always very athletic and loved to use him as a pinch runner because especially when it was, you know, an off day for him, it was like having a free roster spot. A guy who was a good base runner and who was fast enough. There have been others.
You know, anybody text Brooks Kieschnick in? Not that he was, you know, necessarily fast, but he did both jobs.
No, I think Mark Burley also was used every once in a while. And sometimes you get these guys that have retained a little bit of athleticism and give you some value. You there,
but more often than not, very slow.
Top of the hour, Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports on what the hell is going on at Michigan State and how possibly it can keep getting worse. At every single public turn, they find a way to make it worse, and they're making the solution there apparently to a larger and larger scale every time they open their mouths or interact with other human beings. He's coming up. He's always terrific. That's at the top of the hour on The Score.
Listen to 670 The Score anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app and...
Hey, hey, it's Flo. And you know what word I've never understood? Top hat. Aren't all hats on top? They're like the toppest part of every outfit. Unless I've been doing it wrong. That's why I stick with simple words like flotection. It means the sense of security you'll feel when your new home is protected by home insurance through me and Progressive. Also, there shouldn't be a top hat unless there's a bottom hat. Wait. Is that what underwear is?
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Talking with Bob Babich, who's now the Bills linebackers coach. He was Bears defensive coordinator, Bears linebackers coach, and he is going to present Brian Urlacher in Canton to the Hall of Fame. When was the point where you realized that his athletic ability matched his mental ability as a player?
Initially, I saw his athletic ability a lot quicker. I mean, I knew he was a smart football player, but we had OTAs and training camp before we actually got into the games and he put his football intelligence to use. So I saw his athleticism and playmaking ability, during those periods. And then, you know, once we got into games, I realized how smart he was and how intelligent he was.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The new Bernstein and McKnight Show, middays 9 a.m. to 1.
And the Bernstein and McKnight Show now joined by Crane Kenny, the Cubs president of business operations.
What are the new little ad? I mean, we can see, you know, Gallagher way out in front of us, but right inside the park, the extras, the add-ons that this renovation will bring fans this year.
Yeah, so we touched on that in my view. I always kind of start with the players. The most important thing, and probably the most important thing we've done for our organization after the clubhouse was the dugouts, because yes, they're roomier and they're heated and that's nice, but more importantly is what's going on behind the dugouts that the fans won't see, which is two batting tunnels. You know, we're now giving them the space that they deserve to get ready for the game, so that's very important. What the fans will see when they come in is A, the concourse is far less crowded because we bring 8 new concession stands online.
Dan Bernstein now in middays, joined by returning Score guy Connor McKnight, 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Healthy, energetic, and fit. I'm Dennis.
26.2 miles of city streets, 29 vibrant and diverse neighborhoods, 1.7 million cheering spectators. You won't want to miss the Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 7th. The 2018 application is now open. Apply today at chicagomarathon.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
The new McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
You should be there. Every roster should have three quarterbacks on it. You're always one hit away from going to your number two. And when that happens, you want to be combing the street for your backup's backup? I don't. I want a guy who understands my offense's language.
Mac is back. Joining Danny Parkins on your ride home. 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Based on average 6-inch sub.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This segment is brought to you by Dell. Small businesses get tailored tech solutions when they partner with Dell, plus free shipping and a price match guarantee on everything, including laptops with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. All right, so even if you're allowed to wear your green jacket, so he's got clearance from the tower.
Just because you can.
Exactly. Exactly.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Is he just concerned that he's going to be mistaken for Oliver Platt?
Yeah.
He's going to get that look at somebody like, how do I know you? Were you an executive decision? Were you
Did you do a couple episodes on The West Wing?
Were you the guy chewing on the show? Were you the food critic and chef?
Were you in a terrible remake of The Three Musketeers with Charlie Sheen, Kiefer Sutherland, and Chris O'Donnell?
God,
I have to be the only person in America who saw that movie.
I had not heard of it when you brought it up. I took your word for it. I thought it might have been one of these. I forgot the term, but you know that there's a huge mistaken belief that there was a movie called Shazam starring Sinbad.
Yes. And you never know, happened.
Right. It never happened.
Never happened.
Never came close to happening.
It's not, yeah.
Yet people insist that they saw it or saw things of it. And then I thought that when you brought up that version of The Three Musketeers, that there was a collective delusion abetted by Reddit, much like the Shazam delusion.
That I'd been Shazam.
It like the Kazam theory, same principle.
Well, no, Kazam, the Shaquille O'Neal, that's part of what confuses people.
Yes.
There was a movie called Kazam.
Which was bad.
It was bad. It starred Shaquille O'Neal, but there is an ongoing like flat earth dispute about the existence of the movie Shazam that starred Sinbad that did not exist.
Yes. No, this is an actual Three Musketeers movie with Oliver Platt in the role of Porthos. Chris O'Donnell is D'Artagnan. Kiefer Sutherland is
Athos.
Athos and Aramis is Charlie Sheen. Tim Curry plays Cardinal Richelieu. Very good.
But dressed as Frank N. Furter, oddly enough.
Like big high heels walking around underneath that cardinal's garb.
How do you do? I see you've met my faithful handyman.
I was a very confused young man watching the movie. Very confused, but somehow delighted the entire hour and a half through it. Because, yeah, it was a quicken. Just a real quick romp through the air. Oof. No, but I understand people are texting in about Phil Mickelson wearing his screen jacket at Krispy Kreme and wearing it in other places too. But four spots, three of them games over the last, 2 weeks, week and a half? Seems like a lot.
It's enough. Put it away.
Also, here's the other thing. If Patrick Reed showed up courtside at the Houston Rockets game or really any other game, you don't think the broadcast would catch the fact that, hey, Patrick Reed is here, let's put him on television, unless he wore the green jacket? They're going to notice. They're going to notice you're there. You're the Masters champion. You will get your television time. You don't have to wear your green jacket.
Okay. Let me, an alternate interpretation here. By the way, Mandela effect, is it, what everybody's saying, is that the collective delusion is called the Mandela effect for whatever reason.
Oh.
Rule of three, rule of 17. If Patrick Reed... If he wears it everywhere.
And only.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, if he goes hard the other direction, it's one thing to do it a little too much, but if you are going to make it your bit that every time you leave the house, you are going to have it on, I'm down for that.
Then I want him.
I'm there for that.
I want him in pictures like Cavallari takes of Jay Cutler.
Yes.
You know, the bare ass photo and some sort of tiki vacation, and he's just wearing the green. Like Donald Sutherland. In Animal House, reaching up for the top plant, and his ass is underneath the cardigan sweater.
Let the record show one segment went from Kiefer to Donald Sutherland.
I'll get you there.
That we got a multi-generational Sutherland reference series there. But the more mundane, the better. If Patrick Reed is like walking a dog while wearing the green jacket, or somebody gets a shot of him like in the back of Us magazine where they've got, you know, Jennifer Garner at the Circle K,
right,
or you know, something like that. The celebrities, they're just like us. Here's Patrick Reed, of course, in his green jacket buying. Right.
It's progressively more stained. There's like a burn, like a cigarette stain in there somewhere. This from the text again saying the movie I saw was not the movie I saw. They said it's The Man in the Iron Mask. That's not true. That was another movie based on The Three Musketeers that it moves down the
Alexander
line.
Also Alexander Dumas, right?
It's yes. It's Leonardo DiCaprio as King Louis. King Louis, Jeremy Irons, John Malkovich, and Gerard Depardieu.
Oh my God, there's not enough scenery to be chewed.
There was.
Craft service is actually serving handfuls of scenery.
It was quite. I've watched that movie too. It is something.
Something bad?
No, it's actually kind of. There are scenes. Jeremy Irons is great.
It seems like everybody's acting so hard.
It was. The Malkovich scenes are tough. Depardieu is just like, he's drunk the entire movie because that was his career. And Jeremy Irons is actually pretty decent. But it's a very young Leonardo DiCaprio, and he's kind of a bitch throughout the movie.
Okay.
I mean, I think he was supposed to be, but decent movie enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just, those kind of overwrought period dramas are something that you gravitate to.
Oh, and, yeah, they're my thing. They're my jam.
And I do not.
They are my jam. Wait until Game of Thrones kicks back up for you. We're going to do episode recaps.
This segment brought to you by Dell. Small businesses get tailored tech solutions when they partner with Dell, plus free shipping and a price match guarantee on everything, including laptops with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. If you got a hazmat suit, put it on, because you're going to want to wear it when we're talking about what continues to go on with the bungling of Michigan State University from the very, very top, from their sports doctors, from multiple sports and multiple people there. Dan Wetzel has been covering it closely. He also covered Penn State closely, and now we're at the point where it's not unreasonable to compare and contrast the width and breadth and depth of, I think, width and breadth are the same thing. And
you can have all three, Dan.
Thank you. At this point in my career, I'm entitled.
You can have all three.
All right, so we'll talk about that and more with him next on The Score.
Cubs pitching coach Jim Hickey joins Mully and Hanley every Wednesday morning at 8 throughout baseball season.
Nobody likes to play in the cold, but the hitters in particular don't like to hit in the cold. So, you know, I just try to encourage us to take advantage of that.
Jim Hickey talks Cubs with Mully and Hanley Wednesdays at 8 a.m. only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
Go to ProFootballWeekly.com, draft your greatest team of the NFL's modern era, and you could win a trip for two to the big game next February in Atlanta. That's ProFootballWeekly.com, home to the best coverage of the draft and free agency anywhere.
And now, an ad from Mom.
Bundle home and auto with Progressive and save on your car insurance. Excuse me, maybe we should add in the word money so they know that they're saving money. I'm just going to add that in there, okay? Hello? Just nodding at me. Okay, well, he's got enough buttons to push in there.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Talking with Bob Babich, who's now the Bills linebackers coach. He was Bears defensive coordinator, Bears linebackers coach, and he is going to present Brian Urlacher in Canton to the Hall of Fame. What made him a Hall of Fame player?
Oh, there's so many things, Lawrence. The first thing I would say is that I think people don't understand how intelligent he was. As far as football, I mean, the guy was unbelievably smart. He understood the scheme. He did so many things that put us in position to be successful. Then on top of that, when you put his size, speed, and playmaking ability together, it just put together a great linebacker for the Chicago Bears.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score.
The new McNeil and Parkin Show.
Afternoons 1 to 6.
Brent Musburger joins us.
And damn, do we miss you on Saturdays during football season.
Do I remember smoking a cigar with you once upon a time?
Yeah, we got thrown out of a bar in Seattle.
Yeah. Last cigar I ever smoked, Dan. I gave it up. I couldn't be kicked out of saloons. I need my Irish whiskey, you know what I'm saying?
Brent, I don't believe it for a second. Now you're back in a sports book in Vegas and you don't have a stogie every now and again?
again?
No, you don't touch it. I said, no, I like alcohol better than I like nicotine. I mean, it came down to that. It was a tough choice. But
what's your drink of choice?
Bushmills.
Rocks or straight up?
Straight up, baby.
Mac is back, joining Danny Parkins on your ride home. 1-6, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Talking with Bob Babich, who's now the Bills linebackers coach. He was Bears defensive coordinator, Bears linebackers coach, and he is going to present Brian Urlacher in Canton to the Hall of Fame. Well, this is exciting. How did you find out that you were going to give the speech?
Well, Brian called me up, and he said, hey, I have a question to ask you. You know, he said, hey, will you be my presenter at the Hall of Fame? And, of course, I was just flabbergasted and just excited and, you know, really humbled by him asking me. And so I'm just very excited to be his presenter at the Hall of Fame. I have so much respect for him that, you know, I just had nothing but excitement once he asked me, and so excited to be able to do this.
Lawrence Holmes, night 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Talking with Bob Babich, who's now the Bills linebackers coach. He was Bears defensive coordinator, Bears linebackers coach, and he is